I felt that today we're going to look at the story of Daniel. Now, I know it's not what we've been reading this week, but it's what I felt. And actually, it's kind of confirmation hearing everything that we've sang this morning, because it really does fit. And most of you know it's an amazing story of God's protection of Daniel and his friends. It's a story, and we're going to hear a lot of story this morning, but it's a story of loss, hurt, jealousy, bitterness, but it's also a story of God's plans and purposes for four young men, and it wasn't what they expected. It shows us how the father doesn't just protect his children, but he fights for them. And 1 Chronicles says, the battle belongs to the Lord. When we stand firm, we will never be alone. The Lord is with us. Our temporary situations in this world may sometimes feel very overwhelming, but when we stick together, when we pray, when we support each other, when we encourage each other, we build each other up, and it helps us never give up. And that's what those four men did. They stuck together and they stuck with the Lord. And that's why it's so important to go to our midweek groups to have that support. It's so important to come on a Sunday. We build each other up. We praise together. We bring our worship together. And when we keep our faith and our trust in God, he will never let us down. He has a plan and a purpose for each one of us, just as he did for Daniel and his friends. So I'm going to read a lot of story today. So let's start. So I'm going to take a look, and it starts, I'm going to start with the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. He'd besieged Judah, and he'd taken captives some descendants of the king of Judah, and these included Daniel and three of his friends. Now, that spoke to me in itself, because when God has a plan, nothing will thwart it. And he did have a plan for those four young men. From the beginning, God knew that Daniel and his friends would have a huge part to play in Babylon and with the king. He was going to speak into their lives, and God was going to speak through them and show the king that there is only one true God. Now, Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were brought into the king's palace. Now, they were brought there to be trained for 3 years to be servants of the king. They were brought there because they seemed very good looking. They seemed strong. They seemed intelligent. So the king wanted good things around him, beautiful things around him. So these men were chosen to serve him. Now, when they arrived, their names were changed. And that was because it was going to help them remove their previous identity and help them look forward only. So Daniel became Belteshazzar. Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah became Abednego. Now, their story is full of their dedication to God. They wouldn't lie to protect themselves. They wouldn't bow down to idols. And they openly worshipped God in a land where that God wasn't even known. Our God wasn't known. They bowed down to idols. Now, one of the first obstacles that they came up against was they were expected to eat the delicacies of the palace, and that didn't fit in with their beliefs. So they refused. They refused to take them. And fortunately, as God often does, he always puts someone around them to protect them, look after them. And in this case, it was a eunuch. And that eunuch was quite fearful, because he thought, well, hang on a minute, if you guys don't eat properly, it could mean my death. But he actually had kindness, and he understood them. And he said, okay, I'll give you 10 days and you can eat vegetables and water. But at the end of that 10 days, if you're not healthy, you have to go back to eating what the king wants you to eat. So they said, yep, that's fine. At the end of that 10 days, after eating just vegetables and drinking water, they were found to be very healthy, but 10 times more healthy and wiser than the other wise men around them. And that kind of made me think, should I go vegetarian and become wiser? But anyway, after a while, the king has a very troubling dream. And he summons all his wise men, magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, to tell him the meaning of the dream. But he doesn't tell them what he's seen. He expects them to know. If they're wise, why not? And they didn't. He was furious. So he decreed, kill them all. So he sends out his soldiers and starts killing all the wise men of the land. And of course, by now, Daniel and his three friends were considered wise men. So the guards came to their house to kill them. But Daniel said, give us time. Let us approach the king. He approached the king. He said, give us time. We'll pray to our God and we'll come with the interpretation. And that's what they did. They prayed and God gave them that interpretation. So when Daniel turns up in front of the king and tells them, the king is just amazed. And he actually, where am I? He gave him the meaning. And I've lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. But anyway, Daniel then praises God. He's been given the interpretation of the dream. So before he gets to the king, he does praise. And I wanted to read that part because I do love it when people come out with so much praise. I just get encouraged. And this is what he said. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the season, his seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness and light dwells in him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have now made known to me what we asked of you, and you have made known to us the king's demand. And that reminded me of John 16, where he said, ask and you will receive. That's what these men did. They went to God and asked and said, show us this dream, Lord, because we need to tell the king. And that's what they did. So when Daniel did get before the king, he glorified God once again in front of him. And he says, no one else could interpret that dream, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And then he told him the dream. He interpreted it for him. And the king turned round and said, truly, your God is a God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets. You see, Daniel pointed all the glory to God. He didn't take it on himself. But the king lavished loads of gifts on him. He promoted him. He was so happy. Now, Nebuchadnezzar still, after all that, believes in all the other idols and gods. And he then, a bit later, kind of forgets about the main God. And he builds a giant golden image. And he decrees that at the sound of the horn, everyone else is going to have to bow down and worship that God. You think he'd have learnt, really, wouldn't you? But he didn't. But of course, there's always someone around who's going to try to accuse the children of God. And this is no different. So some Chaldeans came to the king and told them that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego refused to bow down to the image. The king was in a huge rage and he calls them to him and he says, if you don't bow down, I will throw you in the fiery furnace. And they said, our God, first of all, I'm sure they said sorry, but it doesn't say that. It said, our God is able to deliver us from the furnace and he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, I will not serve your God. The king was full of rage and anger, and he instructed the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than it normally would. Now the guards were sent to take them and throw them in. They were bound up and they were thrown in. But the guards getting close actually died from the heat. When the king looked in the furnace, instead of seeing the three men bound and burning, he saw them walking around free, no bindings on them. He calls out, then he sees a fourth man, and he says to someone next to him, he said, didn't we just throw in 3 bound men? And they said, yeah, we did. So he calls them out. He says, come out, come out. And they came out. Not a hair on their head was singed. The ropes were burnt. The ropes were gone. There was no smell of smoke on their clothing. The Lord had completely protected them. And once again, the king praises the God of heaven. And this time, he decrees no one can say anything bad against the God of heaven. He promotes the three men and he continues to think really, really highly of them as they speak into his life. Now, the king does eventually die and he's succeeded by his son. And I'm not going to go into his story because we haven't got time. He then eventually dies and is succeeded by someone named Darius. Now, Darius becomes a king and he appoints 120 princes over the kingdom. And over them, 3 governors, of whom Daniel is one. So as you can see, God had used these young men and promoted them. Just like other stories in the Bible, he'd taken them from captivity place them where he wants them to speak into the lives of kings and kingdoms. And Daniel was now one of the three governors over the whole kingdom. Now, at the time, it must have seemed like a really terrible thing to Daniel and his friends to go through in the beginning. Their whole land had been defeated. They'd lost relatives. They were taken captive. But they remained faithful throughout, even to willing to die on for their faith. They never had a bad word either. We never read that they said bad things about their enemies. They just trusted in God and prayed to him. And our Father in heaven honoured them as he promoted them and he saved them several times. As they lifted and glorified God, he also lifted them. So now Daniel is one of the three governors over the princes, three governors over the princes and other governors. And of course, as we saw before, people become jealous. And they allow jealousy into their hearts. So what happens then? They try to bring a charge against Daniel. But they can't find any because he's remained honourable. He remains faithful to his God. So they decide to trick the king. They said to the king, "King, you are the most wonderful God on earth. Let's praise you. Let no one else be higher than you." They built him up. And of course, the king's thinking, this is wonderful. And they said, "Right, for 30 days, make a decree. No one can bow down to another God." King thinks this is great. So he agrees, not realizing by signing this decree, he's actually signing Daniel's death warrant. So along they come, the guy, Daniel didn't bow down. He has to be thrown into the lion's den. King was absolutely devastated. He was really close with Daniel, but he has no choice because even the king cannot go back on what he's decreed. So Daniel gets thrown into the lion's pit. And we all know the story. Our Father in heaven closed the mouths of the lions all night. And in the morning, the king comes and he said, "Daniel, Daniel, are you okay?" And Daniel comes out. The king praises God. "Yep, this is wonderful." And he was so enraged with those who tried to trick him that he threw them into the lion's den. Now, as you can see, I have missed out loads and loads of this story because there is so much in it. But what I want to highlight are the few things that I want to bring out of this story. God remains faithful to those who are faithful to him. He never leaves us. We also hear in this story that when hurt and jealousy and bitterness are allowed to remain in people's hearts, it allows the enemy a foothold, and it will only bring harm and death. Just like with the accusers of Daniel, they were thrown into the lion's den themselves. When they got on board with the enemy, it brought their own destruction. The enemy is a destroyer. He is an accuser. He lies and he cheats to take lives, and he doesn't care whose life, whether it's the accusers or whether it's the victims. He will take whoever. But what's the good thing out of that? We know, as children of God, Jesus has won the war against the enemy. The devil is already defeated. We are children of the Most High God. And as such, just like with Daniel and his friends, when we stand firm and we trust in God, he will be our vindicator. He will fight our battles. Even those soldiers who threw Shadrach and the other two into the fiery furnace were killed. They may have had no choice to do that. But if you lay hands on the children of God, you pay the price. We need to know who we are. No one can stand against the children of God. God is with us. He is for us. Holy Spirit is in us. Those princes allowed their hearts and minds to join in with the works of the enemy. And they allowed those hurts and that jealousy to turn into bitterness. And ultimately, it brought them death. Romans 12 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Let's keep our minds fixed firmly on the Lord. Jesus paid the ultimate price on the cross for our sins and forgave us. We can forgive others. Jesus said in Luke 6:37, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you." That means in many things. It means if we hold unforgiveness, we will be judged in the same way. But it also means if we give love, we will be loved in the same way. Daniel and his friends were a perfect example of how to do this while in the middle of trials. They stayed faithful, they trusted God, they kept their minds firmly fixed on the Lord. They could easily have allowed that hurt, that loss to come in and cause bitterness, but they didn't. They trusted God and they allowed him to fight their battles. So, when things come against us, whether it's difficulties or sicknesses, loss or accusations, when we stand firm, we can push through and we will see breakthrough, because faith as small as a mustard seed will move a mountain. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were desperate in prison. But what did they do? They sang praises and they prayed. The earth shook and the prison doors flung open. Our praises through our trials and circumstances will break down prison walls. And we sung about that this morning. When we can't see a way out, when we can't understand the reason, but we just trust in God and we pray to Jesus and even sing our praises in the middle of it, we can move those mountains too. He is with us in the fire, and he will bring us out unharmed and even better off. Because all things work for the good of those who love the Lord. And he is so worthy to be praised. We may not understand what we go through. We don't see the big picture. But he does. And when we trust in him, he will take over. He will guide us through. He will bring us out on the other side. And he will lift us up. Because there is a plan. Nothing is unplanned. Nothing is a surprise to the Lord. You are exactly where you are because the Lord needs to move you to somewhere else. And he's with you in that. Our God is amazing. He's life-giving. He's full of mercy. He's full of love. He's full of life. He's a father, a brother, a lover, a husband. There is no one like our God. He loves each one of you and me. And that's worth getting excited about, isn't it? Amen.